Chapter number 9. Let me say a few visitors. Did we pass out visitor cards? Did the ushers pass out visitor cards? They didn't pass them out. Brother Jimmy, real quick, grab some visitor cards. Real quick. And while we're turning to 2 Samuel chapter number 9, he's going to be passing out some visitor cards. And if you'll just take them and fill them out before you leave and just leave them laying right in your seat. You don't have to give them to anybody. Just fill them out, leave them laying right in your seat, and I'll give them. And we appreciate you being here. We do count it an honor that you're here. Amen. Just slip your hand right up. We're standing all across the altar. Let's stand and stretch our legs. And we're turning to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. If you're a visitor, they'll come by and give you a card. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. We're all standing in honor and reverence to the Word of God and to stretch our legs. Let's be honest. 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? There was up in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for your opportunity you've given us to be here in this house today. God, we thank you for each one that's gathered together, Lord, under this roof, Lord, around your word. And I pray, oh God, we've sang praises to your name, and we do love you. We thank you, Lord, your word tells us that we love you because you first loved us. We thank you this morning for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all your kindness that you've bestowed upon us. And God, we pray if there be anybody here that's come in this morning, they don't know the Lord Jesus. Maybe they don't know the peace that passeth all understanding. They don't know what it's like, Lord, to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. God, I pray today that they walk out of here knowing that they're a child of the King. God, I pray you'd bless. I pray you'd save souls. I pray, God, you'd have your will and way in all that's said and done. And we'll be careful and we'll praise you and we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. I want to preach this thought this morning on the kindness of the King. The kindness of the King. If you was to go back and study 1 Samuel and 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verses 1 through 4, and then over in chapter number 20, you'll find that King David, before he was a king, he had a friend named Jonathan. And Jonathan was the son of King Saul. Saul was David's archenemy. Saul was the one who, when he heard that God was going to make David the next king, Saul sought out to kill David before he was ever anointed king. But Jonathan, Saul's son, and David formed a friendship. David
described this friendship, hey, as one that was closer than even him and a woman could be. He talked about it had nothing to do with any sexual immorality. It had to do all with the fondness and the bondness of the tear that they had one for another. Man, these two friends, they loved one another. And David talked about that covenant, and we read about that covenant in 1 Samuel chapter number 18. You can see how David and Jonathan, they had made a covenant that was a unilateral covenant. They both agreed to this, that they would, if one of them died before the other one would take care of their family. And Jonathan, here in the earlier portions of this book, you'll read where Jonathan and his dad Saul were in war, and Saul and Jonathan were both slain. Saul and Jonathan both went to their death in battle. And David mourned the loss of Jonathan. David talked about, man, how he was such a great man and how he died, and how he died in his high places. And David mourned the loss of Jonathan. But I will say, David never forgot the covenant that he made back in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and 20 that he made with this one friend named Jonathan. David never got over the friendship. He never got over the covenant. He never got over the bind that he had with Jonathan. And even after Jonathan was dead, David, when he became the king, he remembered this covenant. And here in 2 Samuel chapter number 9, we read the story how David's going down and he's looking for one of the house of Jonathan, just one that he can show kindness to, so that he can fulfill the covenant that he made with Jonathan. You can study this out, and I will say this right quick. The word David means to be loving or to be the beloved. And when we read in the New Testament, Jesus is God's beloved Son in whom He's well pleased. David here, is a representative of our God. Jonathan here, the word Jonathan means that one who was given by Jehovah. Hey, can I say to you that I want to look at this morning, talking about when the king went down to, and got a little boy named, a crippled boy named Mephibosheth out a load of bar and brought it to his house. We see the kindness of the king. But I want to say this morning. It's a great picture of the king of the universe, God Almighty, sitting on his throne, and not any of our doings, but because of a covenant he made with the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, he comes to you and I and he redeems you and I. And we see in this story a great picture of the kindness of the king. We see the grace, if you will, the love, the mercy, the goodness of our God. I want to say we serve a good God. I want to say, this morning I want to remind you this morning, the world may point fingers at him and say, well, if he's so good, why this, why this? Don't blame everything goes on in the world, on God, because some of it, some of it's got its roots in stinking sin. And the Bible still says the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. You disobey God, you get away from God, and the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. You're going to reap what you sow. And no matter what you do, you're going to reap what you sow. But no matter how bad you do, and no matter how bad the reaping gets, God is still a good God. Amen. We all deserve to be in hell, in jail, or out on bail. Amen. Somebody said, I ought to be in hell this morning with my back broke, frying like a piece of bacon. That's what we all deserve. But thank God for His goodness. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the kindness of the King. I thank God the King came by my way one day. Amen. Yes, amen. I want to say something. When we look in this story, we can see what we call typology. It's a picture, if you will, how that it typifies God's working in our life. We see David would be a great picture of God. And he has a covenant with Jonathan, a great picture of God. Saving us for Jesus' sake. Ziba, the servant of Saul, we see how he's a great picture of the Holy Ghost. How he goes down and he fetches and he brings Mephibosheth to the king. We see Mephibosheth, he's a great picture of you and I. The Bible says we were all, in sin. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. Can I say, but in this story, not only see these things, but we can see the kindness and the love and the grace and the goodness of an almighty, holy, sovereign God. Let me say this right quick. Let me say number one. I want you to see something about the pursuit of the king. In the pursuit of the king, we see his kindness. You see, the Bible says here in verse number one, it said, David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, you never read anywhere in this scripture, you never read anywhere in this passage that Mephibosheth sent an invitation. Are y'all with me? You never find anywhere where Mephibosheth was sending out looking for a request. He wasn't sitting around with his hand out. No, but the king said, he remembered one day. He said, Brother Robbie, I remember I made a covenant with Jonathan, my best friend, and we made a covenant. I was going to see to the posterity of his lineage. He said, man, where is his line? Where is his family? And he said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Watch, he said,
that he said, I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. I see something about the pursuit here. I see the motivation of his pursuit. The motivation of his pursuit wasn't because Mephibosheth was crippled. Now, if you was to go back in 2 Samuel chapter number 4, you'll find that when the news came that Jonathan, Mephibosheth's dad, Jonathan and his granddad Saul, Jonathan and Saul were killed in battle, and when the news came back to their house, you'll find in 2 Samuel chapter number 4, where the Bible said his nurse picked him up, and as she went to flee, she tripped and fell, and because she fell, she hurt Mephibosheth, and now Mephibosheth is lame, the Bible says, in both his feet. But you won't find here in this story, you won't find that King David said, I feel sorry for him. You won't see the pity sorrow. You won't see him just feeling sorry for him. Now, you see what he says here. He says, I want to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. See, it was nothing Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth didn't say, well, hey, my grandpa was the king, and I'm the next in line, and so I got money, and I got this, and I got that. No, hey, you see, none of that mattered, amen? None of that mattered anymore. Mephibosheth was fallen. He was lame on his feet. Hey, his dad was gone. His granddad was gone. He didn't have nothing to cling to, and the king came by and showed him kindness, hey, for Jonathan's sake. He came by and showed him kindness. Thank God. Hey, you and I, we were in sin. We were dead in our sins and trespasses before God. You didn't deserve anything. I didn't deserve anything, but thank God that the King of the universe came by and he showed you kindness today. Not for your sake, not for my sake, not because anything I've done, not because anything you've done or anything you're going to do, but for Jesus' sake. The King shows kindness today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank God for the motivation of the King. But let me say this, not only the motivation of his pursuit, I want to say something about the means of his pursuit. He was motivated because of Jonathan's sake. He was motivated because of the covenant that he made with Jonathan. But the king didn't go down to Lodabar. The king didn't go down there. Hey, you know who he sent down there? He sent a little fellow named Ziba. He was a servant. Hey, he was a little fellow. He was a come along and help along. He was somebody that would help. And he sent Ziba. He told Ziba. He called for him over here in verse number 2. He said to the servant Ziba, and he said, when they had called unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul? I may show kindness of God. You see that? The kindness of God. You see that? Not just the kindness of David, but he said the kindness of God unto him. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's at the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel. In Lodabar, the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel. See, he sent Ziba down there. You know what happened to you? You're dead in your sins and your trespasses. You couldn't get to heaven if you had enough money. Hey, to buy the whole world, it ain't going to get you in heaven. You ain't good enough. Let me say, all your good works don't amount to a hill of beans in God's sight. Hey, the Bible said all our righteousness is filthy rags. You stood destitute. You stood depraved. You stood damned on your way to hell. But for Jonathan's sake, for Jesus' sake, the king shows you kindness. And he sent the Holy Ghost your way. And he sends the Holy Ghost. And you wasn't looking for him. Thank God. But he sent the Holy Ghost coming by your way. And one day the Holy Ghost comes by. And he said, hey, the king wants to talk to you. The king wants you to come, hey, have supper with him. The king wants to have a conversation. You ought to thank God this morning for the Holy Ghost. Amen. You ought to thank God, hey, for the means of the pursuit of the king. The king's pursuit. Amen. I thank God for his pursuit. Thank God he came looking for me. Amen. Amen. Let me say this. Let me say real quick. No, I see something about the means, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. Somebody says, well, I'm working my way to God. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do this. Now, look, come here. You ain't going to do a cotton picking thing. You with me this morning? You know the old song, I'm working my way back. It don't work that way with God. No, hey, the only way you'll get to God is by means of the Holy Ghost drawing you. Amen. And Ziba went down and he went down there and he fetched him. He went down there and God had Mephibosheth. He said, hey, man, the king wants a meeting with you. But look at this. Look at the measure of his pursuit. You say, how far did he go? I'll tell you how far he went. He went as far as he had to go. Hey, remember now the king, King David, he's in the palace. In Jerusalem. Now he's the ruler now that Saul's gone. He's gone around gathering his army. He's in the palace. He's the king. But he sends Ziba. The Bible says here, he sends him down, what does it say? To the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. In Lodabar. That word Lodabar, the word means a place of no pasture.
or the place where there's no bread. And the word maker there, that word comes from a word that means to be sold. So here's where Mephibosheth was. Hey, watch it now. His family was killed. His dad was killed. And here's where he was. He wasn't in the palace any longer. He wasn't around royalty. That's not where he was. Oh, Mephibosheth was down in Lodabar, the place of no bread, the place where he was starved, and the place where there was nothing to eat. He was down in Lodabar, the place of no pasture, no greenery, nothing fresh. He's down there, and he's in a place that's sold. It's a picture of you and I. Hey, before you were saved, hey, you were sold in sin. You were locked up in sin. You couldn't get out if you wanted to without the help of the Holy Ghost coming by your way, and by the help of God sending His servant, hey, the Holy Spirit to draw you to Him. You couldn't get out of Lodabar, the place. You were starving. You were looking in the world. Some of you still there this morning. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. You're looking for satisfaction, and all you're finding is dissatisfaction. You're looking for peace, and all you're finding is more problems. You're looking for, hey, help in the bottom of a bottle, and when you get to the bottom, all you find is you need another bottle. You're looking for help and love in all the wrong places. Can I say to you this morning, hey, the only place you're going to find help, the only place you're going to find peace, the only place you're going to find refuge is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, when the Holy Ghost comes by your way, you ought to throw up the flag of surrender and say, hey, if you're going His way, I'm going with you. Hey, man. Thank God for the measure. I thank God. Hey, that Ziba didn't say, hey, King David, he's down there in Ziba, man. He's down there. Ziba didn't say, hey, he's down there in Lodabar. There's nothing to eat down there. He didn't say he's down there, hey, where it's a place of soul. He didn't say, no, there's no hope down there. No, old Ziba said, hey, I'm going to do what you want me to do, King. And old Ziba went all the way. And the king said, go all the way down there to Lodabar. Can I say, man, there was a day when I was in Lodabar. There was a day when I was in a place where there was no fresh bread. There was no grain. There was no fruit. There was no food. There was nothing to sustain me. Hey, I was going from one high to the next. One thrill to the next. But thank God that Holy Ghost came by my way. And He said, hey, I know you're in Lodabar, but I want to take you over to the king's palace.
Amen.
Yeah, man. Hey, the measure. Hey, man, I want to say this. Jesus Christ, He left the throne of heaven. Hey, y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
I hope y'all came to go to church. Preaching time. Hey, the Holy Ghost, He comes to you in salvation. Jesus Christ came to you at the crucifixion.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm talking about the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He left the halls of heaven. He left the royal, the splendors of heaven. He left it all, amen. And He went all the way. He didn't go to Calvary and say, oh, this is some atrocious event. I can't handle this. He didn't say, no, they're going to spit at me. They're going to reject me. They're going to make fun of me. Oh, I can't go. No, look up in here. Hey, He had a covenant with His Father and He went all the way. The Bible said He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, can I say to you that Jesus Christ, before you was ever a sinner that was ever created, Jesus Christ was already the Savior in the mind of God. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. I'm talking about the King took great measures to pursue you. I'm talking about, you're here this morning, you're hearing the gospel preached. I'm talking about the King has taken great measures to come looking for you. Y'all all right with that? Hey, religion, as the world sees it, is man working his way to God. But I want to say Christianity is God working His way down to man. Are y'all all right? Hey, the king took great measures. Hey, guess what? He didn't go halfway. He didn't go while it suited, Miss Nancy. He went all the way. He went all the way. And He knew He was going to be rejected. He knew He was going to be spit on. He knew some people was going to be ashamed of Him. He knew some people didn't have time for Him. And He said, I'm going to an old rugged cross so I can make a covenant of blood with the Father that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, have everlasting life. I want to say something. Hey, we see here the pursuit of the King. But let me say this, not only the pursuit, I got to hurry. Jesus left it all for you. But let me say this, not only the pursuit, let me say something about the pity of the King. The pity of the King. We've read the story. You can go back through here, but you'll see that we talked about how in 2 Samuel 4, his nurse dropped Mephibosheth. He was 5 years old. Now, from that time on, he's lame on both his feet. He can't move. He can't get around on his own. He's hurt. He's crippled. Hey, let me say this. He's crippled by the doings of someone else. The Bible says teaches us in Romans chapter number 5, hey, for by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men for all have sinned. What's he talking about? He's talking about how Adam, hey, our father Adam sinned, and because of Adam's sin, we're all cast into the lot of sin. And all, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner.
Hey, and whether you like it or not, you're a sinner. Amen.
You might as well get your self-righteous nose and take it off and put your real nose on. Amen. And realize, look up in here, that you're born in sin. And you need a Savior. Amen.
He's crippled because somebody else fell.
Oh, it wasn't like Mephibosheth was running and fell. No, he fell because his nurse dropped him. And you fell in sin when Adam fell in sin. Great picture. Hey, and watch here. Hey, not only was he hurt, but I see that he was helpless.
He's helpless. Watch here. Watch here in this passage. He says in verse number 5, that David sent and fetched him. David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, hey, he said that when he was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant.
Here's what I see here. He said, fear not. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness.
For here he is again, for Jonathan thy father's sake. Jonathan, thy father's sake. And he said, I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as thou?
Here's what it is. In the culture now, when a king's family was killed, or the king and maybe his son, the rest of his lineage, hey, in that day, Oriental custom was that the next king would come and he would slay everyone that was a threat to. Mephibosheth lay here, lame on both his feet, crippled. He knows the custom. He knows the culture. He knows that when King David comes looking for him and sends his servant, that what it most likely means is he's about to be put to death. He knows it, and he's helpless. He says, I can't get up and run. Here he lay, hey, lame on both his feet. He's hurt, he's crippled, he's helpless, and he's hungry. Mind you, he's in Lodabar, the place of no pasture or no bread. And then he's humbled. The Bible said there that, hey, what did he say? He said there in verse 8, he said he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? He realized what he was. He realized what he was. Can I say to you, I see the pity of the king, the kindness. Here's what we're talking about, the kindness, the pity, the mercy of the king, the goodness of the king. You say, where do you see this and all this? Here's what it is. Number one, he sought for him. In verse number 4, the Bible, he sent for him. He said, where is he? He's asking Ziba, where is this one, son of Jonathan? Where is he? Can I say to you, Jesus came looking to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus come looking for you. Hey, he's got his Holy Ghost on your trail this morning. The Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart this morning. That's God looking for you. Not only did he seek after him, but he sent for him. Look in verse 5. Hey, David, what's it say? And David what? Come on, y'all. Then David sent. David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. David sent. Watch. He's showing his pity. Hey, he's showing his kindness towards him. He's saying, look, I'm seeking you now. I know where you're at. I'm sending for you. And then watch verse 6. This is good. Remember now, David's the king. Are y'all with me? David is the king. Mephibosheth is a little crippled boy. He's not really a little boy no more. He's grown an adult now. He's crippled. He's on his feet. I'm picturing him laying here on the floor. Maybe he's on his arm. Maybe he can't get up. He's lame on his feet. And the king comes in. In verse 6, look what the king did. Now, as he sought him, not only has he sent after him, but he spoke to him. Verse 6, the end of that verse, it says, and David said, Mephibosheth. Hey, watch now. He called him. I hope this don't bother you. But the king didn't know him. All he knew was Jonathan. But David came in and he called him by name. Hey, he called him by name. Can I say he might be calling you by name this morning? Hey, maybe you're in Lodabar. Maybe you're in a place of no bread. Maybe you're in a place of hurt. Maybe you're in a place where you realize you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's calling your name this morning. It's a tug at your heart. He's calling you by name. It's, hey, the person beside you, they're not feeling that, hey, tug at their heart. You are. He's calling you by name. And the king called Mephibosheth. He didn't say to everybody. He didn't say, hey, look up in there, everybody, like the preacher. No, he said Mephibosheth. He got real personal with him. And he sought for him. He sent for him. He spoke to him, and then, hey, watch this, he spared him. He saved his life. Glory. He could have killed him by all rights of the culture that day. Hey, Mephibosheth could have been slain, and nobody would have thought twice about it.
But David said, hey, in verse number 7, he said, I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. Watch this. Not only did he save his life, but he supplied everything he ever needed. Watch this. He said, watch. And he said, hey, I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And he said, I restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, that thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? The king said, look, man, what's mine is yours. I'm going to give you, watch, he said, I'm going to give you everything that was your grandfather's and was going to be your dad. He said, I'm going to restore every bit of that land back to you. All that's going to be yours. He said, but on top of that, you get to come eat at my house.
Amen.
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 I'm talking about he supplied every need. I'm talking about the pity. I'm talking about the kindness, the mercy, the grace, the goodness, the faithfulness of a good, loving God. Let me say something about this goodness. Let me say this pity, it was unearned. It was an unearned pity. I've touched on this already, but he said, I do this for Jonathan's sake. I'm doing this for Jonathan's sake. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 6 says that we are accepted in the beloved. Hey, the reason, if you're saved this morning, if you're on your way to heaven, if you're forgiven, been washed from the blood, hey, been born again, been S-A-V-E-D saved, hey, it's not because of what you've done. It's not because you went to a Christian school or a Baptist church. It's not because you've got so much money in the bank. It's not because you're white or black or yellow or red. It has nothing to do with race or financial status or political status. Hey, if you're saved this morning, I'll tell you why. It's because Jesus Christ went to an old rugged cross and said, Father, I'm going to give my life and I'm going to shed my blood so that whosoever should call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved.
Amen.
Yeah. And he saves those that call on Jesus for Jesus' sake.
Amen.
He saves you for Jesus. He doesn't save you for your sake. He saves you for Jesus' sake.
Right.
Amen. I thank God. Hey, it was unearned. Amen. Hey, unearned. Jonathan's sake. Jonathan's sake. Wow. You get a hold of that. You get a hold of that. That God's good to you this morning, not because of what you've done, because of what Jesus done.
Glory.
God, I said God's good to you today, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. It's unearned. But let me say this. It was uncommon. Well, I went over there. I told you, David was the king. He could have came in and slew him. Hey, Mephibosheth, why? In verse 8, he said, what is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? Hey, Mephibosheth, man, I'm a contemptible, useless person. Here I am. I'm just a dead dog. I'm as good as dead. I'm no good to you. And even if you like me, I'm lame on my feet. And David, hey, I'm telling you, the custom of that day was to go in and take him out. He's a threat to the throne. And David said, I'm going to show you kindness. I'm going to give you your land. I'm going to restore everything back to you. It would have been yours. It's uncommon. Unheard of. Can I say, it's pretty uncommon. Are y'all listening this morning? It's pretty uncommon that you and I, hey, sinful man who's spitting God's face, hey, rejecting Him all our life, turn our back on Him, ain't got time for Him, but He sent His only begotten Son to die on an old rugged cross. That's pretty unheard of. Can I, hey, look up in here. Muhammad didn't do that for you. Y'all all right? Muhammad didn't do that.
Right.
Hey, Joseph Smith didn't do that. That's good preaching, preacher. I'm glad you're pointing that out to me.
Amen,
amen, preacher. Brigham Young didn't do that for you.
Right.
Hey, your mom and daddy didn't do that for you.
Right.
And your president sure enough ain't doing that for you.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Yep.
Hey, Jesus Christ is the only one. That's uncommon. I'll tell you how uncommon it is. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. Yeah, you all right with that? Hey, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one door. Jesus said, I am the door. Behind me, if any man enter in, He said, he'd go in and out and find good path. Hey, there's only one door, amen. There's only one door. There's only one way that's called straight. There's only one way that's narrow. Hey, there's only one way. There's only one truth. And there's only one life. And it's in the person, of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen, it's uncommon, but let me say this. It was unmistakable. Unmistakable. Told you, man, Mephibosheth thought he was dead. There was no doubt that when the king had Mephibosheth brought to him,
And I mean, if you get this picture, man, he's humble. He's in the floor. I mean, you get the picture, man. He's brought before the king, and he's laying there. He's not standing up. Look at me, man. I'm up in the king's palaces up in the air. You know what I'm saying? No. He's hurt. He's crippled. He's helpless. He's humble. He's laying in the, he's in the floor. And if he gets up, he's got somebody propping him up on each side, and he's standing there laying on his feet. And the king says, not only am I going to save your life, he said, I'm going to give you everything that was your daddy's and was going to be yours. He said, I'm going to feed you at my house, and I'm going to take care of you. Hey, I'm telling you, when Mephibosheth got out, done with that meeting that day, there wasn't no doubt in his mind that something was different.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? There wasn't no doubt in his mind. It was an unmistakable kindness that he experienced that day. Can I say to you, when you get saved by the good grace of God, and he makes a change in your life, and you pass from death unto life, from darkness unto life, hey, can I say that when he makes you a new creature, there's no mistaking what God does for you. Can I say to you, if you've never been made a new creature, you've never been saved. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that is to be saved, placed into the body of Christ. Therefore, if any man, woman, boy, or girl, red, yellow, black, white, present in his life, hey, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Can I say to you, when you meet the king, there'll be some changes. Hey, when you meet the king, you won't have to say, well, mom and daddy know the king. Y'all with me? When you meet the king, it'll be personal and it'll be unmistakable. Hey, Mephibosheth knew he was dead, but he walked out alive. Hey, David came by and Mephibosheth, I see him laying in the floor, Brother Steve. I see Mephibosheth expecting to die. I see Mephibosheth, he's expecting, but he finds mercy and he finds grace. And King David says to Mephibosheth, he says, hey, Mephibosheth, he said, you don't know me, but I know who you are. He said, I knew your daddy, Jonathan, and long before you was ever born, me and your daddy made a covenant. We made a contract between one another. And I don't know much about you, but I'm going to be good to you because I got a covenant with Jonathan. And for Jonathan's sake, he said, I didn't come to exile you. He said, but I came to communicate with you and to show you kindness. He said, I didn't come to annihilate you. He said, but I'm a Mephibosheth. He said, I came to adopt you and I want to make this one of my own. He said, I didn't come to ruin you and get rid of you. But he said, I came to reconcile you and to redeem you and to restore you. He said, I didn't come to kill you, but I came to keep you and to preserve you and to take care of you. Oh, my friend. Hey, oh, Mephibosheth found some kindness and some pity in the eyes of the king that day. And I will say, it was unmistakable. Unmistakable. But let me say this. That leads me to this. Not only the pursuit of the king, and not only the pity of the king, but I like this one. The provisions of the king. The provisions of the king. I like that old song, I'm a child of the king. I'm a child of the king. Hey, you understand, if you're saved this morning, you're a child of the king. You're a child of the king. You don't have to beg for bread. You know, David said, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor received begging bread.
Right.
You don't have to sit around waiting on handouts, begging. You're a child of the king.
Right.
Hey, watch this. Watch, I'll give this real quick. Verses 9 through 13. David, now the king of the nation of Israel, he comes by and he has pity on a little crippled boy. Not for anything the boy had done, but for Jonathan's sake, his father's sake. That blows my mind. Great picture of our God. But then not only does he spare him, but he supplies everything. He gives him everything he needs. He gives the provisions of the king. Let me say this. Number one, he provides him a future. Man, Mephibosheth should have been dead, and if he was alive, he shouldn't have had anything. Man, he's knocked out of the palace. Hey, he has nothing but watch. Whoa. Verse 9. The king said, watch what the king, verse 9, then the king called. The king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, watch what he said. He said, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. See, he gave him his life back. He gave him his land back, and he shows him love. He provided for him a future. Hey, old Ziba goes out of the palace that day, and he knows that, hey, not only am I not going to die, but I got land to work. He said, I got a king that loves me. I got somebody that cares. I got somebody providing for me. He's giving me a future. He said, I don't have to lay around in fear down there in Lodabar where there's no bread, no pasture. I don't have to lay around down there wondering if somebody's going to find me and kill me. He said, because I done met the king, and the king preserved my life, and he gave me land, and he gave me a reason to live, and he gave me my future back. Not only that, but he said, I'll give you some food.
Glory.
Remember now, he was down there in Lodabar. He's down there where there was no food. There was no pasture. In verse 10, he said, therefore thou and thy sons, he said, and thy servants shall till the land for him. No, watch that. He's telling Ziba, but you go till the land for Mephibosheth. Remember now, Mephibosheth, he couldn't get out there and do it on his own. Let me say, hey, if you're saved this morning, look up in here. It was grace that saved you. You couldn't save yourself. And I want to help you out this morning. You can't keep yourself saved neither. It was grace that saves you. It was grace that keeps you. It was grace that's going to take you home. Amen. Hey, the king said, I'm going to give you, hey, watch this thing. He said, thou my sons, he said, thy servants, he said, shall till the land for him and shall bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. Wow, what about that? He said, y'all going to provide food for them. Y'all going to grow the crops. He said, I'm giving them land, but y'all going to go out there and till the land and work it. And he said, this guy's going to have food, fruit to eat, man. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, watch this. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son. Wow. Y'all see that? Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway. Where?
Amen.
Not at his house. This is the king talking. He said, at my table. Naziba, he said, or Ziba, however you want to pronounce, he said he had 15 sons and 20 servants. Here's what he's doing. He's adopting him. He said, look, I'm going to provide food for him. But while I'm doing that, I'm just going to bring Mephibosheth on over to my house. And look at verse number 11, the last part of the verse. He said, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons.
Right.
As one of the king's sons.
Glory.
Somehow I shout hallelujah right there.
Amen.
He said, I'm adopting you, Mephibosheth.
Hallelujah.
You understand? The Bible said, before you got saved, Satan was your father. John chapter number 8, he said, they are the father of the devil. I know that ain't popular, but that's the truth. But when you get born again, that is born the second time, born from above, regenerated from the Holy Ghost, you are born then into a new family.
Amen.
With a new daddy.
Amen.
Hey, in a new household.
Amen.
With a new set of rules and a new set of regulations. And watch this, a whole new set of delights. He's going to take care of you. You know why? Because you're a child of the king.
Glory.
You're a child of the king. I want to say, somebody needs to slap the neighbor high five and remind him, hey, I'm a child of the king this morning.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding about slapping high five. It'd be all right, though. Once in a while, that ain't going to hurt us. It'd get a little life up in here.
Right.
Hey, slap my hand. Say, I'm a child of the king. Amen.
Amen.
He gave him a new family. Remember now, hey, his family was dead. His daddy was gone. He couldn't go to daddy and say, daddy, I need this. He found a daddy in the king. Amen. Hey, David said, I'm going to bring him in. You're going to eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Amen.
Right.
I want to remind you, if you're saved this morning, if you're a child of God, hey, you're a child of the king.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to give you a new family. But this, watch this. I like this part. Verse number 10 and 11. He said, not only this. He said, I'm going to give you a friend.
Amen.
Now, we've been introduced to Ziba. Servant of Saul. Old Ziba was one who went down and fetched him out of Lodabar and brought Mephibosheth to the king. But now watch what the king said about Ziba. He said, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land. Here's what he said, hey Ziba, hey, you're going to be a servant to Mephibosheth. You're going to work for him. You're going to take care of him. In verse number 11, he said unto Ziba, hey, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. Y'all get that? Basically what Ziba said, he said, you want me to till the land? You want me to take care of Mephibosheth? He said, everything the king said, that's what I'm going to do. Can I say to you, that's exactly what the Holy Ghost does for you at salvation. Hey, when the Holy Ghost comes to you, he doesn't brag about himself. He doesn't tell you what he wants to do. The Holy Ghost doesn't come around saying, brag on me. But the Holy Ghost does everything that God wants him to do. Everything Jesus asked him to do. Hey, the Holy Ghost, he's another comforter. He's a paraclete. He's that one that sits closer than a brother. He's the one that lives inside of you. He dwelt inside of you. And the Bible said he's sealing you until the day of redemption. And the Holy Ghost is living inside of you. And everything that Jesus wants him to do, hey, he's talking about
about Jesus. He's bragging about Jesus. He's telling them about Jesus. Hey, He'll help you along the way. He'll provide for you. He'll give you the strength you need. He works for you. Hey, and He does everything according to what the Lord the King says. Ziba, in verse 12, the Bible said, hey, he was a servant unto Mephibosheth. He's a servant unto Mephibosheth. But let me say this real quick. Not only did he give him a future and food and family and a friend, you ought to thank God for that friend, the person of the Holy Ghost that, hey, sticks close. He walks with you. He talks with you. He don't never leave you. He don't never forsake you. Can I say, if you slipped in New Hope Baptist Church this morning and you don't know a friend, you don't think anybody's your friend, can I say Jesus wants to be your friend? And the person of the Holy Ghost, if you'll trust Jesus more, He'll live inside of you and He'll never leave you. He'll be there, hey, on your deepest, darkest moments. Hey, when everybody turns their back on you, when everybody lets you down, the Holy Ghost, He'll never let you down.
Right.
But let me say this. He provided fulfillment. Glory. Fulfillment. You know, Jesus said in John chapter number 10, He said, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But He said, but I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more what? Abundant. I'm thankful for eternal life. I'm thankful. You're looking at a man that's never going to die. Y'all all right? I took a drink out of a well, hey, of living water. Hey, and because I drank out of that living water, I'm never going to die. You say, hey, this old body's going to lay down and go to sleep one day. This old body's going to go to decay. Hey, this old body, hey, but the person, a man, hey, going to live forever. If you've been saved, you're going to live forever. Thank God for eternal life, but thank God that not only eternal life, but abundant life. Some people's waiting on eternal life. You've got eternal life today. You got saved. You got saved. You've got eternal life right now. I'll help you. Hey, but not only that, you've got the possibility not only having, Brother Rodney, eternal life, but abundant life. That doesn't mean riches and wealth. That means abundant. That is the joy of the Holy Ghost living within you. Hey, walking in the Spirit, knowing the victorious Christian life abundantly. Hey, knowing the joy of serving Jesus. You can experience today. Hey, let me say this. We've got the Holy Ghost, but hey, we've got one better than Him. We've got Jesus Himself. Hey, are y'all all right? Yeah. Hey, not only do you got the person, the Holy Ghost, and live inside you, but let me just tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Romans that we are now joint heirs with Jesus. You, look up here. You, if you're saved, more, are a joint heir with Jesus. That is, everything's His is yours. You can't supersede Him, but through Him, hey, everything His is yours. Hey, we have the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hey, in Christ, we had all spiritual blessings in Him. We're seated, Ephesians chapter number 1 and chapter 2 says, we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. In other words, we're already in heaven in Christ. Some of y'all is going to sleep. This is the most exciting part. Hey, our needs are met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm saying you and I, you're sitting at the table of the King. I don't understand people that say they're saved, but they still want to run back down to the bar rooms and the slop halls of the world, and I want to eat the slop. Hey, why stop on the slop when you can eat at the King's house? Man, you could be eating the royalty dainties and you could have everything at the King's table, but you're going to satisfy for the lowly things and the molded bread of this world. Hey, get up off the floor and go to the King's house.
Right. Amen.
The King, hey, let me say this. Mephibosheth, lame in his feet. Family, never one time in his passage does the King mention anything about him being lame on his feet. The King doesn't point it out. King just says, hey, I'm going to show you kindness for Jonathan's sake. I'm going to show you kindness. King doesn't say anything about him being crippled. Guess what? Neither did Mephibosheth. The only thing he said was, hey, well, that he was a dead dog. Man, some of you just need to learn to forgive yourself when God forgives you. Amen. Some of you need to say, if God's forgiven me, I'm not going to live in the past. Hey, I'm a child of the King. It's preaching time up in here. Hey, y'all all right? Hey, there's a lot of people walking around in the mullet grubs and the dogs, and you'll be like, you don't know what I'm going to do. I can't go through life. And they're holding their own sin against them from the past. They're holding what they've done years ago. You just don't know what I did. You don't know how I failed. Look up in here. Every one of us has failed. If you know what this preacher done since he's been saved, you probably wouldn't listen to him preach. But when God forgives you, the Bible said if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And the Bible teaches us that we are to confess our sins and to forsake them. And when you forsake them, that doesn't just mean don't do them again. That means don't bring up what God's done for God.
Right.
Get over it. You're a child of the King.
Amen.
If God ain't going to bring it up, I sure know if I ain't. Now watch verse 13. Mephibosheth goes, and the Bible says Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. Y'all see that? So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. Now he was down in Lodabar. Brother Rodney, where would you rather live? In Lodabar where there's no pasture? Or would you rather live in Jerusalem where there's a palace and the king's got food?
Amen.
Hey, old Mephibosheth finished his days out in Jerusalem. The Bible says he went down and dwelt in Jerusalem for he did eat how long? Continually at the king's table. And watch this. And the whole time he's at the king's table, watch. And he was lame on both his feet. But let me help you out this morning. If I had crippled feet, you can see them right here, can't you? Amen. But guess what happens when I tuck in at the table?
Amen.
Whoa! You can't see my feet at the table.
Right.
Are you with me? Sit at the table, man. Hey, the table spread. Hey, it's laid out. And when the crippled feet are under the table, you can't see them. We're all sitting at the same table, and we all got stinking crippled feet, but you can't see them because we're at the king's table. Y'all shout hallelujah, man. Hey, you don't have to go back to Lodabar. You don't have to worry about when you fail. You don't have to worry about the past. You're sitting at the king's table. Enjoy life. Live for Jesus. Walk with God. Sit at the king's table. Pull up and have a time. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this. He was at Jerusalem. We're on our way to the new Jerusalem. Hey, but hey, we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I find this interesting, and I'm done. You don't find Mephibosheth. When you see them in the discourse, you don't see much going on. But I can just imagine. I can imagine all down their life. I don't imagine them talking about much. But here's what I imagine talking about. I imagine Mephibosheth saying, "But King David, why am I sitting at your table? Why am I sitting up here in the palace? I was down there in Lodabar. What did I do?" And I imagine David said, "Don't even, no. Wasn't nothing you done, son. I didn't come down there for you. But I came down there for Jonathan's sake." He said, "I made a covenant with Jonathan. And he said, I showed you the kindness of the king. Because of the covenant, hey, for Jonathan's sake. And you don't find Mephibosheth bragging on himself. You don't find David. Hey, you know what you're talking about? They're talking about Jonathan. David said, "I love Jonathan, man. I love Jonathan." Hey, Mephibosheth, you just don't know the bond me and your dad. And I can imagine David talking to Mephibosheth about all the times that him and Jonathan spit out in the field and how him and Jonathan done this and how they done that. And I can imagine Mephibosheth saying, "Man, I sure would like to know my dad a little better. I was 5 when he died." And David said, "Let me tell you about your daddy, son. Let me tell you about the time." And I'll tell you what, the whole time that they're talking, the whole time they're getting together, they're talking about Jonathan. Can I tell you this morning what we ought to be talking about? We don't need to be talking about me. We don't need to talk about no preacher. We don't need to be talking about some denomination. You don't need to be talking about what you've done. You don't need to be talking about nothing. I tell you what we ought to be talking about. We ought to be talking about Jesus. We ought to be preaching about Jesus. We ought to be singing about Jesus. We ought to be bragging on Jesus. We ought to tell people about Jesus. Where our drawing point ought to be Jesus. When we worship, ought to be Jesus. Everything we talk about ought to be Jesus. I want to say, you ought to love Jesus because the kindness of the King. For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. The kindness of the King. Are you a child of the King this morning? Are you a child of the... Have you met the King of Kings? If you don't know Him this morning, I beg you this morning. I beg you, come this altar this morning. And you can start a relationship with the King of Kings. And I say you can eat at the King's table.
You don't have to go back to the slop halls of the world. You don't have to go back looking for love in all the wrong places. You don't have to go back looking for this and looking for that. I'm saying you can take a drink of living water. I'm saying you can meet the King. He'll adopt you into His family. And you just take today you can start a brand new relationship. And from here on out, you can dwell in Jerusalem and eat at the table of the King. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, Lord, we love You. And I pray, oh God, that You'd have Your way in this invitation. Lord, I pray You'd speak to hearts and lives. I pray if there be anybody here this morning that's lost, God, I pray You'd convict them. And I pray You'd draw them with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray You, I plead the blood of Jesus today for lost souls, those that need to be saved. I pray for Christians may need to be encouraged, helped along the way. Lord, I pray You'd take full control of this invitation. Speak to hearts and lives, have Your will and way. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.